Yeah. This that generational curse breaker, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know it. Had to get my vibe on this one.
Listen.
Brother, I just wanna have a word with you.
I do.
From a brother to a brother, what's the word?
Hey, what's the word?
What's going on? I see depression in your whole system.
True.
And I can bet you no one really knows the whole issue.
Uh-huh.
You struggling inside, internally confined. Feel the pressure of society, just want a peace of mind. See gunshots in your hood, hear the sounds of the siren. Visualize the cop killing, feel the violence and defiance building inside. Lava boiling, erupting, but you're silent. Hit the blunt, sip some drink to suppress every thought that's on your mind. You know everything's getting out the line. They desensitizing us like out of sight, out of mind. Don't show no emotion. You got them cycles all the time. Jails are whispering, come here. The cells enticing to your mind.
Uh-huh.
How despite we operating, yet we're running out of time. Running round, emptying rounds. The blind leading the blind. But young king, you got untapped potential in you.
Do
you can sell weed and rocks? You know you got a business in you.
Do
turn that illegal to illegal. See the bigger picture.
Look bigger,
no dating app, but I know you love a different tender. Expand your mind and soul. Surround yourself with better individuals.
They won't be
plotting against you, instead they be plotting with you. Think of having good, solid homies at the round table to change the situation, make it all safe.
Let's go.
Yeah, this that king's way.
King's
keep
way.
It humble, keep it real. Yeah, that's how kings play.
How they play.
You fit another's crown. You got your own,
got
man.
Your own, man.
Tap into the kingdom, fam. You got the gold,
got
man.
Go,
got that oil, got the oil. Let it glow,
go,
man.
Back.
Walk upright, bro. You know you got that flow, man.
Back.
Listen to the wise words of what a king say. From royalty to royalty, that's the king's way.
Way.
I see you, brother, with dreams and aspirations.
I see you.
Bigger than yourself. You wanna change the whole nation.
I know.
Globally impactful. But you can feel the odds are stacked though. Don't feel you have enough support. Don't know who got your back, bro.
Got your back.
I've been there myself. I'm a visionary too. So every now and then I doubt it. Sometimes visionaries do.
That
but
happens.
Your alignment's coming to you. Your assignment's shown to you. So if it's visualized, just know that the vision's coming true. We need innovators. Life is spiritual. Game changers. Walk on by the devil or that'll change strangers. Lives cause they're affected by how you do it. Major
they
walk
are.
Around being a blessing. Yeah, you know it's God's faith.
The most high.
It doesn't matter about your present location. You are present with the highest gift. Your soul is so sacred.
So
young
sacred.
King, don't you let the world change it. Shift the paradigm and let the globe know you're a world changer. Yeah, yeah, this that king's way.
King's
keep
way.
It humble, keep it real. Yeah, that's how kings play.
How they play.
You fit another's crown. You got your own,
got
man.
Your own,
tap into the kingdom, fam. You got the gold,
got
man.
Go,
got that oil, got the oil. Let it glow, go, man.
Back.
Walk upright, bro. You know you got that flow, man.
Back.
Listen to the wise words of what a king say. From royalty to royalty. See, that's the king's way.
King's way. Hey.
This for the next generation, man. From the middle child to the younger child to the older, you know, the older head, man. Let's link arms, bros. Go.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, it's a King's Way podcast, y'all. This your boy D Super, and I'm just glad to have y'all in this episode. I'm glad to have y'all with me on this journey. You know what I mean? It's a beautiful blessing for me to be able to present my perspective on a lot of different topics that we're going to be discussing. So I really appreciate you all for listening. We're going to have a special guest today. You know what I'm saying? My man does the photography and everything. His name's Trey. Definitely follow him on Instagram. X Trey X Trey X. You dig what I'm saying? We about to be talking about black on black. You feel me? What do you guys think when you hear black on black? Like, what is the first thing that comes to mind when you're thinking black on black? Let's talk more and let's get into it. You feel me? Right after these commercial breaks.
I don't think we can even find ourselves sometimes. I don't
homelessness, depression.
Say, man, I just don't understand.
Lost souls.
I
don't know what's going on either, Marvin.
Yeah, that's perfect.
So.
These are the confessions of a man with some color. Seen some folks that look like me that could have been my brother. Inside a familiar place that we call the struggle, where we're animals. Darwinism with the hustle, Darwinism for survival. We're more tribal, see, we love to mark our territory with the guns while getting butter. But we're programmed to eliminate our infrastructure, being trapped within the rubble, trying to get outside that bubble so we can feed our biological. By any means, that means using others' nightmares to sell them dreams. That means it's like Resident Evil with the fiends, to serve them with little doses of coke in their misery. And then I ask, why won't we fix up this genocide? Building more business and not the business of driving by blasting niggas, poisoning minds without the cyanide. Kids turning into these monsters that ain't scared to die. Why? Yeah, they rather see us at the bottom instead of letting us fly. Fly, fly. They rather see us doing wrong instead of us doing right. Right? They rather watch us being locked up in cages instead of free. Free. They rather see us broken apart instead of being complete.
1776, America gained its independence. Over 200 years later, there is still racial tension. Why is there still forced division? Why do we, the people, like vision? Have we no conviction? Have we no diction to clearly express our free depiction? Where the people actually have power and are bullied by politics. They enforce slanted policy and we fold like a pile of sticks. It makes me sick, how weak can we become? How repressed the speech, you think we were the tongue? Why is it our ancestors were hung? So that today we die by gun? Whether by blue or black it stems from ignorance and hatred, my son. No celebration for me because no victory is won. If I can't live in harmony with all factions of human, I won't agree with everyone, that's all consuming. You won't always agree with me, that's non-fusion.
As long as harm is not bestowed upon another, as long as we don't infringe upon others, as long as earth is our mother, no longer shall we bring or suffer. We should all remain distinct individuals, should all be driven by a common goal to be indivisible. This lab cry and die by being side by side on this amusement ride called liberty.
If we're killing ourselves and cops are killing us, then that's twice the problem. Double elimination, double the devastation, double the occupation of being the violent nation in a society of people that's in support of hatred. Have we forsaken the idea of our own existence? Women are accepting being thoughts and becoming bitches. Niggas are more niggas not because of what others mention, but because we accept the idea of being ignorant. We take steps in place and say that we're moving forward. I'd rather be the wingman and say that's a small forward. No, that's a large backwards. Now we don't know ourselves. Talk about growth in others when we don't even grow ourselves. Altercations, we're ready for war with anybody. Bunch of Mike Vicks throwing bullets at anybody. They say rules are to be broken, but I'll let you know, we created codes and still managed to break our principles. Why? Yeah, they rather see us at the bottom instead of letting us fly. Fly, fly. They rather see us doing wrong instead of us doing right. Right? They rather watch us be locked up in cages instead of free. Free. They rather see us broken apart instead of being complete.
Yo, 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 we are back, my people. And I am excited to introduce to y'all the man, the myth, the legend, Trey.
Uh-huh.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
What's up, man? It's a pleasure to be here. So I'm super excited to be a part of this, to be honest. Yes. Let's get it.
Yes.
What's up, everybody?
I'm glad that you're a part of this, man. We definitely want to touch bases on, you know, what is black on black? Like, you know, first and foremost, you know, introduce yourself to everybody, you know, let people know what you do, you know, your handle.
Right, you know. Well, it's your boy, Trey. I go by Trey. I got TR3 Photography. I'm a photographer. I'm the cameraman. I'm the funny man there. The all-out entertainer, the alchemist, you know, and you can find me on Instagram at XTREXTREX. You can find all my information on there. And I'm on YouTube as well. And all my information is really on my Instagram. So just follow me on my Instagram and you can see everything that I got going on.
Yes, yes, yes. So, man, the topic of discussion for today is black on black. Like, when you think about black on black, what is something that crosses your mind whenever we talk about black on black? Like, what is
Name one word that pops out and comes to mind.
The first thing that I think of when it comes to black on black is hate, and which is bad. And I hate that the first thing that I think of is that. Nope. Black on black, it ain't. I don't think love. I want to think love, but that's not in what's become in this society. Like, it's rare to find it.
Yeah, so when you say, hey, why do you, like, what are some factors, what are some things that come to mind when you think hate? Like, why is it that you feel hate whenever you think of black on black? Like, you know what I'm saying? What are some things or some examples that you would give that would say, man, like, yo, black people just hate each other? Like,
yeah, I mean, for one, the first thing is the whole black on black crime, man. Like, we all, the black male has an ego where they can't handle another black male doing better than them. So instead of getting inspired by that, they hate on that, and they, you know, pretty much take them off earth. Like, they kill them. Like, people out here, black people are out here killing another black person because they not doing what they want to do or something like that, or they just hating. They don't like the fact that they're doing something so positive. Like, the most cliche point I can make is the Nipsey Hussle situation. Like, just that alone, a black man could be doing so much good, but then another black man can just take him out. Stuff like that. That's just what I mean. Like, that's wild. Like, I hate that.
So when we talk about hate, you know what I'm saying? Like, where does that hate stem from? You know what I'm saying? Like, I always, you know, I know personally, like, of course, we can talk about how slavery did that. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So,
of course,
you know, the whole Willie Lynch letter, the writing of how to, you know, strategically go ahead and break down the mind of a black man. Right.
Turn us against each other. Just turn us
exactly against each other. And, you know, and it's crazy because a lot of what we depict in our society is more so the culture of what we can create, but yet we don't have no ownership in nothing. We don't even appreciate each other enough to be like, you know what? I need
right.
you. Like, I want to be able to build with you. Instead, like, I think the past has a lot to do with where we currently right. are. You know what I'm saying?
It's like we've been free as black people 55, 56 years. So it takes a while to unlearn a lot of stuff. And that just goes to the fact of black people just have to know that they have to go and do their research. Because a lot of us really just don't know our history. Like, even me, like, I'm still learning. Like, the history of being black and what that even means. What happened to us? I had to read and find out stuff that is like, we was already here, like, in America. A lot of us don't even know that we was already here. It was just that slave trade really hurt us a whole lot. And it just takes a while to unlearn it, I guess. And it's just something that we need to do.
That is interesting that you mentioned that too, because a lot of, like, let's speak history too. So we have people like, you know Uncle Tom, right?
Not to the extent. I know the expression Uncle Tom. I know what it really, like, just like what it means.
Okay, man. So you heard of the expression Uncle Tom at least,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so a lot of people don't even realize that Uncle Tom actually saved another slave and ended up getting, like, beat brutally for doing so. He spoke up to the slave master. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
The real Uncle Tom was actually a stand-up slave. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know, like, Uncle Tom's Cabin, how it was portrayed, where I forgot the main character's name, where he betrayed the other slave, was not what the real case was for the real guy who was Uncle Tom. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting how our history can be changed around and against us. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And it's crazy to see that, but that's just a small example of what you were saying when you was bringing up the fact that a lot of us truly don't.
Yeah, we just don't know. We don't know our history. We Because for one, we was kind of like all taught a lie. Like a lot of stuff that we was raised in really isn't the truth. It's to an extent somewhat, but they sugarcoated a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. No, and it's funny because not only did they sugarcoat it, I say there's two types of people in this world, right? Mm-hmm. And when it comes down to the objective of ignorance versus foolishness, some people truly are ignorant because they don't understand.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Some people are truly foolish because they choose not to understand. They like we got all the tools and the access to learn more about ourselves. We got all the tools and access to learn about, you know, how to better ourselves, but yet we choose not to. And then when we see somebody uplifting themselves, whether it's entertainer, whether it's, you know, the guy who owns a barbershop, you know, mm-hmm. like
is anything good? Pretty much.
It's like it's crazy. I mean, and another example of it would be being at, like, I was told about this wax museum in Baltimore. So it was explained to us by Poetic Justice. Her cousin went there. And by the way, follow her on Anchor as well, Poetic Justice, Black Coffee. Okay. She was explaining that there basically is a museum that would teach us, that has that whole history, like it's more raw. Mm. It's raw, very real, uncut history. But yet you got people that's from Baltimore, you know what I'm saying, that will stand outside of it instead of looking in it. You know what I mean? And it's not to go against anything that you know, any other city, because I'm sure there's other cities that have historical value of Black culture. Yeah. That's just an example of, you know, we choose not to really accept what's right in front of us and learn what we can while it's right in front of us. Rather sit around and not really have the value of what our grandmothers, our great grandmothers, mm-hmm. our great have experienced. Right. So we have a better understanding of what we can do to be better in our situations. It always interests me how that works, because I think in the past a lot of things have happened to where we ignore the signs, we ignore everything, and that's where ignorance is, ignoring. Yeah.
Just by that act and that being so normalized, it just caused a reaction to us all. And mm-hmm. you just gotta step out of that and realize it's up to you. It's up to us, each and every one of us, to like step out of it and look and see what we really have to do as far as knowing what we need to know about our history, because it's super important. It's a lot of stuff that we could be doing as a Black community that we're not doing. It's like, I hate to make it racial, but it really has to be, because you got Jews who Jews stick together. Asians, they really stick together. They got their own flag and everything like that. And mm-hmm. even the government and stuff is helping these communities because they're organized and they support each other. But do we as a Black community? No, it's too rare for it. So, of course, we're not going to get that government help that we should have, especially as far as like reparations and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yo, it's actually very interesting that you even bring that up. How will we as people, you know, instead of looking at obstacles as problems, how can we find a solution through these obstacles? What would be something that we would need to do, especially pertaining to the past? Like, when, you know, what are some things that need to be acknowledged? So, learning is one thing. What else do we feel like we need to do? Like, what can you take in from, or what's your perspective on what we can do better?
The only thing I can say is we really need another, like, we need a new age Black Panther, for real. Like, We need that whole movement again. Like, we really need to start that again. Like, there's no reason for that era, that whole Black Panther era and the civil rights movement, how that was starting up and Malcolm X doing what he's doing. We need that again, but we need it like in today's society. We ain't gotta be out here hating every race or nothing like that. It ain't even like that. It's just that we just need to know how to big each other up more and love each other more. It's too much like you said, it's too much of looking down on one another. We gotta know how to. I think that's the first step. Like, we really gotta get a group of people that can really like love everybody on some native tongue hip hop stuff.
You know what's funny that you say that, because when I was thinking about that, when you said the Black Panthers, one thing that popped out was gangs. You know what gangs represent, what the original Black Panther represent, just the original representation of what we know as, you know, what we know as gangsters, what we know as the system that we had designed. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
A lot of people realize don't even really realize that the gang in the Black culture, like Bloods and Crips and all that, that was all started to protect the neighborhood and help the neighborhood against the police brutality that was going on against us. It took a shift. I don't know what happened with that shift when it just all turned on black. I don't know what happened exactly, because I'm not in the gang culture at all, but I know that that's what it started for, on some like looking out for one another type stuff.
Yeah, I mean, and it's amazing that, you know, I think that a lot of the drugs and the situations that have came in, whether it was, you know, whether it was out west, whether, you know, whether it's down south, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of the drug situation, like how, you know, it was placed in our communities systematically. Like, when you think of that and you look at the nature in which black on black crime is, we're eliminating ourselves way more than expected.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Yep. I feel like, with that being said, it's, we don't do enough talking on, like, we don't never know who's who and why they are to be. Like, we don't have a full understanding of that, because a lot of times we only look surface deep. Right. You feel mm-hmm. me? Look surface deep. So when we capture a moment with somebody that could be life changing, a lot of times there's somebody else on the other end looking to capitalize on causing harm versus, you know, helping or bettering.
Make it, put an awareness of it.
Yeah, I think, and another thing is, I think experience for most people has been the greatest teacher.
Oh yeah.
And a lot of experiences have not been good.
Mm.
You know, I can use, you know, my family, my dad's side of the family for an example. One of the things that I've learned, you know, over time was being in Mississippi is not no joke. You know what I'm saying? Being in Mississippi is not no joke. And one thing you end up realizing is, like, there's still already racial tension, yet alone, you know, encountering situations between small towns. And yeah. It's mm-hmm. wild to know that you can be in a small town or you can be in a big city like New York and be on one side, you know, from one project to another, yeah. and have issues with people within blocks. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? We don't even have enough decency to be able to say to ourselves, like, yo, what can we do to improve ourselves? That way we can move forward from it. Because I think we also, like, historically speaking, like, we're looking for a particular type of handout that I, you know, presently, I don't know if we ever going to get it because of how, just like how we're portrayed in society, yeah. and how we will never
get it until we start doing, like I said earlier, being like, basically put it like this, Black people And this, I didn't even come up with this. I really follow Killer Mike. I suggest a lot of people get some Killer Mike point of views on stuff.
Yeah.
But Killer Mike got a point, man. Atlanta, period. Shout out to Killer Mike. Atlanta, and you really look at Atlanta, not even musically, just look at Atlanta as what they're establishing. Everything that they do in Atlanta is purely black. Like, everything is black over there. The mayors are black. The police officers are black. Like, people that's running the laws and everything is black. And then when it comes to music and when it comes to art, everything over there is black and it's black support. Everything is uplifting. All as a whole need to be just like how the state of Georgia is.
Or at least how, like you said, at least how the city of Atlanta in the art, how the organization of it, because, you know, the South is very interesting. You know, being raised in North Carolina, you already know, like, it there's pockets. You're still going to encounter situations where, you know, it could be.
Yeah.
But at least with a city like Atlanta or, you know, even North Carolina, like, I've noticed a lot of, like, I know there's a lot of businesses or a lot of artists from North Carolina have been representing with each other. You know, I got a whole bunch of homies that, you know, have done collaborations with other North Carolina artists and show love to each other in a way where, hey, look, I'm trying to be the example.
Right.
I'm trying to be the example. And it's one of those things where present day blacks, like, what we're missing is that big mama, the family, the village to raise a child type feel again. If we can get back to that, if we can get to a place where we can really help the young brothers, like, yo, bro, man, look, I'm trying to tell you, this is not the way to go. You know what I'm saying? And help them find themselves in whatever they want to do. I think it's more effective because it's going to continuously be more black on black. Like, I look at police brutality on TV. There's two things that you see a lot of times displayed with black people. Black people getting arrested, a cop killing, or a murder in the city. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
That's usually the three things that you see.
Mm-hmm.
And in other news, you'll see the pretty little kitten that just got saved out of the tree from the neighbor's house. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's that perception. They feed it.
Exactly. The perception is being fed that, oh, man, well, this guy stabbed this person to death. There was a shooting in Southeast D.C., you know what I'm saying? And there was a murder out in Oxon Hill. There was this. There's so many images that are made, and I'm just using, you know, the DMV area because that's where I'm at right now.
Yeah.
But, it's, you know, there's a lot
of... It's the same thing out here in North Carolina, Charlotte. It's the same thing.
They'll go ahead and put... They'll be like, oh, yeah, there was a murder and so-and-so, and you're like, damn, like, is that all the news is about? Is it only the hate? And then when you listen, like... Another question. Matter of fact, since we, you know, speaking on it, how do you feel about when it comes to black on black? How do you feel about the colorism within the black community? Like light skin versus dark
skin. That's another thing that we was taught in the slave days, back when we were slaves, that turned against us. I hate it, honestly. I mean, it's like, okay, it's funny. We can laugh at it. Ha ha. Dark skin joke, light skin joke. It's like, aha, aha. But after a while, you kind of got to really look at yourself. Like, look what you're saying. Like, at the end of the day, we all are brown, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
It's people in Egypt. There are Indians. They're brown, too. Like, we share the same melanin as people over in Egypt and the Egyptians and Indian people and Pakistani people like that. Like, we all brown skin. So that brown skin, light skin thing, we gotta,
it's
stop.
Yo, that's real because I used to work at Harris Teeter, right? Mm-hmm. And when I was working at Harris Teeter, you know, one thing, I love diversity. I love meeting people from different areas and, you know, from different regions of the world and, you know, just asking and getting a feel of who they are. Right. Yeah. So I'm sitting there and, you know, I was a cashier. And so this lady, she's talking to me, had a little accent. So I was like, oh, excuse me, ma'am, if you don't mind me asking, where are you from? Mm-hmm. So she says, I'm from Afghanistan. Wait, where are you from? So I'm like, oh, you know, I'm from here. I was born here. She's like, well, you look Afghan. And I'm like, confused. I'm like, okay,
yeah.
Why would you say that? Like, what, you know, what makes you say mm-hmm. that? So she goes to explain. She's like, well, in the northeast region of Afghanistan, there's dark skinned people.
Yeah.
My complexion, my beard. And my beard, she's like, even the texture looks like the northeast region of Afghanistan.
Wow.
So and she wasn't the only one to say that was from Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. There was another guy maybe a week later that literally I asked him the same thing. He was a lighter skinned guy. And he had like green eyes or something. So I was like, oh, you know, I heard the accent. He's like, Afghanistan, where are you from? And I'm like, well, I'm from here.
He's like, American.
You look like you're Afghan. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And just for him to say that, it just goes to show like there's more to us than meets the eye. Mm-hmm. Like we can be from here, and we're one of the few ethnicities in the world that literally can look like anybody,
right?
Like, and I when I
even
when,
to
when
the
I,
point Dominicans, bro.
Like, yeah, like I was about to say, like we can like I've gotten Panamanian before.
Wow,
you know what I'm saying? And you know, a lot of times in the DMV area, there's a lot of Ethiopians, a lot of Eritrean. East Africans, and certain features on black people here, looking at, like, there's some Africans that will look at you and be like, oh, you look like you, you know what I'm
right,
saying?
Yeah.
You look like African, or you look, you have the features, the high cheekbones, or you have certain things that, or certain features that represent an Ethiopian, or that represents a South African or a Zimbabwe, you know, like there's so many different regions that we basically are everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've seen the dark skinned Filipino and I didn't even, I'm like, what? Like,
oh yeah. They out here too. Oh, yeah, what? Exactly. Cause we was the first people here. That's why we don't need to be separating ourselves with the colorism. It's very ignorant. It's funny. Like I said, it's funny. Ha ha, here and there, but after a while, you kind of got to be like, yo, what am I really saying? What is really the joke?
Because mm-hmm.
it's like, you think about it, you're picking on yourself, and you're accomplishing the goal of the Willie Lynch theory and all of that.
You know, it's funny. I usually go back to the idea of, you know, history,
mm-hmm.
but I also think about the fact that a lot of, even though the next generation doesn't have too much of like Black History Month, and even that, don't get twisted, it exists,
mm-hmm.
but the depth in which we got it when we were younger was totally different, and at the same time, their access to computers and stuff, so like it seems like school, like technology has shifted a lot of thought processes. Like,
oh, yeah.
more kids are more worried about the future than they are the past, mm-hmm. now. So how do you feel about the social media aspect of Black on Black? Like, I, you know, you see, like, an example would be, don't get twisted, you know, World Star is dope. You know what I mean? It's just an example. You know what I mean? World Star is dope, but then you also see, you know, like I seen the first time I seen the Sharkeesha fight was on World Star.
Yeah.
And nobody, like, I can't speak on people's situations. That's something I won't do as far as why people do what they do and what may have caused somebody to do that. Yeah. Or, you know, what may have caused so-and-so to go rob somebody. I can't speak on that. You feel me? But what I can ask is this. You know, you see a lot of people on social media who may post guns, who may, you know, and I'm only using this as an example because I want to give a perspective that's a little bit different from what, you know, the older generation gives and what the next generation's really, you know, what they see already. So you might have people flashing guns. You might have people, you know, rappers that show wads of cash and they say they do it for motivation, but which we'll get to rap and we'll get to hip hop in another segment.
Yeah.
But we see the fakery and the buffoonery in hip hop and in entertainment, but we also see the buffoonery in everyday people where they're faking these lives or they, you know, they're doing certain things for the likes. And a lot of people get jealous. A lot of people have started to feel as if, yo, man, I don't even know. I don't know about so-and-so. Like, yo, I know them personally and they don't even do that. And then that's another, you know, that causes more conflict. So what's your take on social media and the effects it can have on the negative, but we'll do both the positive and the negative effects of social media.
Oh, yeah. I can start with negative because, for one, social media, I guess for the young crowd, they have to realize that social media equals really just fake reality. A lot of stuff on social media is fake and fabricated. And it's not really truly what someone really is because it's the internet, it's social media. People, 9 times out of 10, a lot of people are giving out what people want them to see and how people want them to view them.
Okay.
That's what I think. But people, as far as showing the money, saying it's motivation, and showing the guns, that's being ignorant. For one, people who showing the money, I feel like they're doing that because they ain't never had nothing. So they out here being super ignorant to the point where they showing you all this wise money. Like you was never always doing that. You weren't doing that. Like, it was a point where you didn't have all of that money. Why wasn't you showing that? Now, all of a sudden, you want to show this whole wise of money. And then the whole gun thing, that's some just young black people stuff. Yeah, and they going to say black people because it's white people on there showing their guns too. But when it comes for us, black people, we doing it. Pointing at the camera, whatever, you know, trying to sing so goon this, goon that. It's like, if you really about that life, you wouldn't have to do all that. You wouldn't have to flaunt that. You wouldn't have to let people know you strapped up. Like, just be strapped up and let people think that you're not strapped. There's no point of showing that.
Yeah, and with social media, a lot of times it's like, you never know with people.
Yeah, you really never know.
It's like, you know, you got people, and again, I don't know people, you know, I don't speak on things that I don't know. I'm just being an observer.
Right.
But, like, another example of that would be somebody like the, you know, Soulja Boy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all shout outs to him because he definitely, he yuled and
he made a part of the shift. I think
kind of bigger than at the point in time he made it like extremely huge.
Oh yeah.
But so once the transition of everything started coming to life, like the Instagram post and Twitter, and how, you know, a lot of people was watching how him and Chris Brown and all of these other people were going back and forth. It just put it in perspective that, like, it's entertainment to people who are older, you know, who know better. Like, it's entertainment. But what about those who are looking up to them? Again, we're going to talk more about, you know, the power of entertainment. But social media does that. Yeah. Somebody like Soulja Boy can sit here, regardless, when you look at his life, you know, he's earned his keep, but he can still fake and act as if he got this, or he and it doesn't affect him. You know, some people do it for the views, and I'm only using that as an example. But what about that? You know, what about that kid?
Who like looking at that and wanting to be that, even though he not being what he really is.
Those situations with social media is very odd. Like, who wants to post false images of themselves? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I always wondered about that. Who wants to post false images of themselves and not really stay true to who they are? You know what I mean? Like, unless you never knew.
I understand what you mean.
If you never knew yourself, then you can be influenced to be something that you're not. When you find out who you really truly are,
knowledge of self is important.
Appreciate that. Then that's where a lot of the self hate comes in, you know, and it becomes so much of an issue. We got people that hate themselves that will pretend to have the best life on TV, or the best life on social media, I should say.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, they're dying inside. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And they're sitting here and they're going through what they're going through, but they're faking the whole way through. And for us, we do it a lot. Like, we'll pretend to be these people, but at the end of the day, people are envying you because they don't have what you have. You know what I'm saying? Right. Regardless if you're a normal person or not, they don't have what you have. You know what I'm saying? If you just go into the store and you just bought a brand new car, you 16 years old, and you have a mother and father, you know what I'm saying, who make good money, and they gave you enough money to purchase 2020 whatever, they're going to be kids your age just like, yo, how in the world is this kid driving that? And my mom don't even have a car to get to and from work, or my dad is locked up and da-da-da. And they looking to off you.
Right.
They're going to take away the very thing that you're displaying because you feel like it's a flex. It's a flexathon.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
That's something. I think that's definitely something that a lot of us, we need to turn down to a little bit. Like, the whole flexing thing and acting like you got something. That's the thing, though. I feel like a lot of kids, it comes a point with a time in their life, hopefully if they have the right adults in their life, that can explain to them that it ain't real. They all out here being fake. Like, they borrowing something from this person. That ain't really theirs. Like, and then it comes to the parent too, where you have to like I said, you got to let them know, and you should know if they're on these social media, and you should pick their brain and see what kind of person they becoming, or what kind of person they want to be. I think that's where it first starts at. The parent got to talk to the child so they're not so easily influenced, because I feel like if your kid is being influenced by somebody he or she is seeing on their phone, then no disrespect, I feel like that's something that the parent got to look at. Because your kid should look up to you. Your kid should want to be like you, not what they see, you know, on social media.
Yeah. And I think what you saying, that it does tie into a lot of what you put into your life, what you bring forth, what you can what you endure during your life, and how you can apply that so that way your next generation directly from you, or your sibling, nieces, nephews, your own children, or cousins, right, or whatever. They see what you're mm-hmm. doing. They see the representation of who you are because of what you've right. done. They don't have to look outside and be like, you know what, I want to sell drugs because, you know what I'm saying, I seen so-and-so mm-hmm. do it. And you got people who, you got some people who are hard-headed and that will do that. Like, they just will go out the way and sell drugs, or they'll, you know, do particular things because they choose to. A lot. And there's some people who are on the other end, like, yo, I had to do it because I felt like there was no other way. You see what I'm saying? There's things that I felt like I had no choice to do. And you can decipher between the two, but being the example, just it means for me, what being the example means is being able to know yourself to the point where no matter what people see of you at that point in time, no person can influence you to doing something that is not going to help you become mm-hmm. better. No man, woman, child will do or say or influence you to do what they want you to do. You're influenced by where you are, who you are, and what your goals are. We're not really taught goals a lot of times either.
Yeah, that's another step too. Like in the school, that's something I feel like should be a elementary school thing. Like a lot of things could be changed if we teach the kids. I think it starts with the kids. The kids need yeah. better lessons being taught in the public schools. And mm-hmm. like realistic things, like, yeah, let them learn ABCs, 1, 2, 3s, what are nouns and verbs and all of that. But then after that, at a certain age, at least like fifth grade, they should start knowing that they gotta, you know, make goals, like establish what they want to do when they get older, what it is, especially like in now society, it's so, they got so much access to things now. It ain't mm-hmm. like how we were when we was kids growing up. We didn't have it. Mm-hmm. Like, we was just starting to get it, but we wasn't kids. We was like teenagers, late teenagers, early 20s when stuff was coming out.
Exactly. And I like that idea, like implementing goals and how to be better for self, because one thing I really want to touch on in another episode is self-hate and the meaning behind it. What really is the representation of self-hate? Because I think when you don't understand much, you get lost in hate. Mm-hmm. You get lost in fear. You get right. lost in these things. Because really, hate is an extension of fear. You know what I'm saying? Like, fear is a baseline. Just like love is a baseline. Love is a baseline. From love, you get compassion. You get passion. You get, you know what I'm saying? You get mm-hmm. peace. You get joy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I can use like a little scripture, because it's like, for we're not created in the image of fear. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're not really created to be scared. Like, we're, our DNA is not scared DNA.
Right.
It's the surroundings that throw us off in circumstances that throw us off, that make us look at so-and-so and be like, man, yo, he had it easy. Why I gotta have it hard? You feel mm-hmm. what I'm saying? The message for like brothers like that is like, yo, you aren't him.
Yeah. The
situation is designed for you. Like, you know, we don't need to put ourselves in these situations to where, you know, we're the largest population in America's prison system. But we're not the largest population in the United States.
That is wild. That's so crazy, yes. man. To even think to have that as a fact should be an eye-opener for a lot of us.
That it's amazing. Like, there's one of my homies, his name's Devin. He has a podcast, Letters to America's Third World, which speaks on the prison system. And y'all definitely should check that out, by the way. because it's very insightful to see how colored people, you know, actually are treated in the system, mm-hmm. and how the system isn't beneficial, but you got, you struggle to find these ways in and out of these systems. You know what I'm saying? And like, I think that ultimately when it comes down to the future of what will happen, we have many different direction, or we have many different problems that are hitting us from many different directions. We already have to deal with ourselves, not knowing ourselves, not knowing who, what we're worth, you know, how great we are as people, what kind of, you know, how your mom's a queen and your lineage is from a kingdom, you know what I'm saying? We don't even look at it from that perspective. We look at it like, well, we're trying to survive. Not many people have already survived and still living in survival mode. Right?
Yeah, man. Yeah, I definitely think of that. That's wild, man. Yeah.
It's crazy. Like, so when I ask this, it's basically like, what do you see happening? Desolate or determined? Which one do you see happening?
I see us falling apart? No, I don't. And I would be real honest with you. I don't, because we have in moments like this, what we're doing right now, and we have been more and more people doing it. So I think in time, more and more people will get on the wave of, I hate to say this, quote unquote, will wake up or be woke. It's just a matter, I think it's a matter of time when a lot of people are going to get on the same page. It's going to take something, somebody, some voice, something, another shift in culture, something's got to happen where people is going to be like, ah, okay, we need to be doing this. We need to be doing this. We need to be doing that.
Okay, so you don't think black on black is a forever thing?
Nah, most definitely not. Okay. I don't, because for one, I don't want to speak it. I don't want to even manifest it not getting better. I want it to get better. So I can see it happening, because it's rare enough that it's happening enough, if that makes sense. Because it's,
I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. Well, that makes perfect sense. Okay, so with that being said, all right, what are three things that you want to leave young brothers our age and the older and wiser elders? What are three things that you can leave each generation, from the older generation to our generation to the younger generation? Three things, one for each generation. What is one thing that you would say?
I think the most important thing is knowledge of self, yo. I think that's a big factor. I feel like a lot of us need to know who we are, period, as a person, and grow. People got to inspire to grow. And I guess, because that can follow along with knowledge of self. But to have knowledge of self, try to forget. I don't want to say forgive, but we need to forget a lot of things. And we need to move on. And we need to start a new wave of love.
Okay. Okay.
And I guess another thing, one more thing. Patience. We gotta have patience one with another and yourself. More patience for even what you're trying to accomplish. People just need to have more patience, man. Instead of when you seeing a person doing something that you like to do, you need to have patience and know that you can do it too if you just take the steps. To just take the steps. Don't hate. Just go out there and try and do it too, and do it better.
I like that. Knowledge of self, you know, self-love and patience. I think for me, it would be similar. It would definitely be know who you are and your worth. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like when you understand who you truly are, like, yo, you created by the Most mm-hmm. High. You know what I'm saying? Definitely. So if you understand that, like, you got God within mm-hmm. you.
Say that. That's needed.
You know, like, and I ain't gonna be all preachy and nothing like mm-hmm. that, but like, we have the ability to really surpass what people expect of us. Outside society expects failure. You know what I mean? We have the ability. We just got to look within. We got to really know our worth. You know what I'm saying? Know who you are and know what you're worth. Number two would be count your blessings.
Word, yes.
Because we hating on somebody else. We're always looking at what other people got, but we never know what somebody's storyline is. We don't know what's going on the other end of that person's life. We don't have no clue. We can only assume from the outside looking in that everything's peachy and cream, but you don't know what somebody else is going through. So you can't assume just because they look like they're going through the best of times. They could be mentally going through the worst of time and wishing that things weren't as good as they are.
Uh-huh.
We don't know the circumstances of other people. And number three would be really to love yourself enough to love people. Love yourself to the point where you can actually love people.
Yeah.
Because it's deep, because if you can love yourself enough to love people, you never are going to be disappointed in what people show mm-hmm. you. You're to be actually able to be an example of what love really is. So they may have not seen it, but if you smiling, you showing them the best, you showing them all your teeth or the teeth that you may not have, you smiling, you letting them know, hey, what's up? How you doing? You just giving that type of love and you giving that type of energy out there. A lot of the times people see that, yo, Hey, bro over there, he seemed crazy, but yo, one thing for sure, hey, yo, D Super be laughing all the time, or he be making people laugh, or yo, man, that man be smiling, he funny, he this, like, he's a bright energy. That's what people say about me, you know what I'm saying? So for me to be able to do that must mean that they recognize that the sun is shining no matter what the person's circumstances are. And that I'm willing to give as much love as I can, as I can, no matter what it looks like on the outside. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, dude.
Yourself enough. You got to love yourself enough to be able to give love. And like you said earlier, as far as not putting anything out there, I believe that we're going to be more determined to make that change. You know what I'm saying? I believe we're going to be more determined to turn the ball or flip the system upside down and finally be right side up again.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Is there anything else that you want to let the people know out there, my brother?
It's just like in the beginning of this, I was just telling people to follow me on Instagram at XTREXTREX and follow me on Twitter on that same exact handle. That's my same name on Twitter, same thing. And find me on YouTube. We're having more of these discussions on YouTube too, so we can talk in the comments. I want to keep this whole energy going. Like, let's go ahead and try to build this new age Black Panther. That's all I want to do, man. Like, we need to get with it. I love being Black. I love my Black people.
Man, look, I feel you, bro. I appreciate you always, man. It's always love, man. Hey, tell China I said, what's good? You feel me?
Boy, I got
And like I said, man, we're gonna have a lot more discussions like this. Kingsway Podcast is definitely designed for this. This is what we need. Hopefully we can have a little bit more people on there for the next go round. I will be getting some women's perspectives on some things.
Yeah, we need like, that. We definitely need our queens in here. Queens need to be heard.
Yeah, exactly. So it's, you know, it is a Kingsway podcast, but at the end of the day, you know, this is for everybody to be able to hear. You know, all our people should be able to hear this and really understand the passion behind why I do what I do, why you're doing what you do. Mm-hmm. We can continue to be able to do it through our arts, because musically, you know, I'm working, and I know you're always working on the scenes when it comes down to, yeah, you know, photography.
Yeah, trying to get the visuals out.
Yeah, them visuals, definitely. Check my man's out, Trey, you feel me? Like I said, it's always love, family, and word. Looking to, you know, having you on, you know,
for pretty sure. Soon. Oh yeah. This is definitely not the last time that people are gonna hear from me. I'm gonna be here for sure again.
Hey, look, I appreciate you, family.
I appreciate you, man.
Yes, sir.
All right, peace.
Yo, I'd like to thank my brother Trey for being a guest on Kingsway Podcast, and look forward to actually chopping it up a little bit more with him on upcoming episodes. And I just like to thank y'all, and I'm always loving the fact that y'all are taking the time to listen to me, listen to the people that I invite on the podcast, and really just be one with each other. Like, I'm very appreciative. I'm thankful, and you know, until next time, look forward for the next podcast coming soon. And it's a King's Way. Super signing out. God bless you. You know it.